are listening to the True Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
Every day of my life. I know. I have sympathy.
Okay, well, I think we are back on the air. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I apologize again for all of our crazy technical issues that we're dealing with today, but we are getting through it, and I do have fantastic news right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be welcoming the one and only Linda Milton Howe to the show. She is, without a doubt, probably one of the most world-renowned investigative journalists in the world. Linda, I got to be honest, your background, in a word, is intimidating. I've been trying to figure out how to truncate all this because we only have an hour. So I'm just going to kind of shotgun a couple of things that listeners out there who might not be familiar with you. A lot of people out there, I'm sure listeners, are familiar with Linda because of her many, many, many profound appearances on Coast to Coast, as well as your own 3-hour monthly show that you do on Coast to Coast. You have a fantastic website, earthfiles.com, graduate of Stanford, master's degree in communication, all kinds of awards. I mean, the list of awards is kind of ridiculous. 3 regional Emmys, as well as a national Emmy nomination, ladies and gentlemen, not to mention a little one called the Peabody Awards, ladies and gentlemen. You might have also seen her on a small show that runs very late at night, very hard to catch on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Linda has been around the world and has investigated things that really, really, really blow my mind, Linda. You, I don't know how it is that you got into this line of investigation, but your subject matter is so diverse and it crosses so many disciplines. As I said, it's just intimidating. So, okay, before we get into one of the investigations that you're involved with currently, some of the stuff that I'd like to talk to you about, I wonder if you would just give a little bit more insight into your background and how you did get investigated or get involved with all of these unusual investigations that you've been doing for so long.
Sure. I graduated from Stanford University with a master's degree in communication, where I focused on science, medicine, and the environment. And in fact, I did a documentary with the Stanford Medical Center that they used for 19 years on a research project. And my master's thesis was a film with the Stanford Linear Accelerator, which back in 66 to 68, when I was working on my master's degree at Stanford, this was the very first time that the Stanford Linear Accelerator was trying to see if they could get computers that were in their infancy to do the hard, laborious analysis of the bombardment images that they were getting in the accelerator. And that's what I worked on my documentary about.
Okay.
And I was hired right out of Stanford to work in Los Angeles in news at KNBC. And then I was hired into the documentary department. But I also married a man who was working in television and decided that he wanted to go back to Harvard to get another degree. And that's how I got hired at the Boston WCVB station, where I did even more work in science and medicine. That's the Peabody. I was the producer doing science and medicine in that station, Peabody.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up in another move with my husband then to Denver, Colorado, where I was hired to be director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver, KMGH-TV.
Wow.
My job was to do 3 or 4 documentary films, news segments, and live studio programs. And it was in that context, in the summer of 1979, I was working on a whole lot of different projects and producing a documentary, when I had an audio guy who came off of a shoot for the brand new 2020 in New York. And he had been doing audio for them. And he said, Linda, it is the weirdest story. We are going out to locations out where animals, largely cattle, but some horses and other animals, have been found with an ear, eye, tongue, jaw, genitals, and rectum cord out. There's no blood and no tracks, and we can't keep our battery packs going anytime we start going toward these animals.
Wow.
Like, what do you mean you can't keep the battery packs? That's what we lived on back in those days. You had battery packs that the crew had to wear to put power to your, which then was a 16-millimeter camera and a Nagra, so that we worked together like a ballet team in the field, very different today from light video cameras. And all of this is to say, that is what caught my attention. Why is it that battery packs that were vital to the television industry would not stay powered on a shoot out in rural areas where these strange animals were found? And I ended up working with that same audio guy, Mark O'Kane, and a great cameraman, Rich Lerner, and we started with me just flying by the seat of my pants every day, not knowing every 24-hour cycle I was filling in where we were going the next day. It was incredible. And we worked for about a month in the field, going from one unusual event and interview to another. And the result was a strange harvest that also received a regional Emmy. But the bottom line was that in producing that program that first broadcast May 25th, 1980, in a 90-minute special, I ended up talking with a dozen different law enforcement and so many ranchers and even fellow reporters. And I was hearing, Linda, the key to this phenomena are the lights in the sky that can put beams down in pastures. And one sheriff who was retiring, Tex Graves, up in Logan County, looked at me eye to eye and he said, Linda, the perpetrators of this phenomena are creatures from outer space. That was the first I heard that sentence,
right.
And it took 9 months producing that documentary of moving deeper and deeper and deeper into evidence after evidence that, yes, what we are dealing with is not predators, not disease, not satanic cults, not some paramilitary operation. We're dealing with entities that have some need for collecting tissue, genetic material from these animals, and I can say that in 2015, January, after 35 years of trying to get to the bottom of all this. Now, that leads up to this day when people, my beat has always been and never changed from Stanford to this day, science, environment, and medicine. It was in that category that I explored the animal mutilation mystery that took me to the astonishing statements by law enforcement that they knew that the beams and the lights that were interacting with animals all over the planet were something not from this earth. And when I began to investigate that subject, that is what took me head on, face to face with the United States government when I was working on a home box office hour that I was hired to do after a strange harvest. And in that project, we were going to explore what the law enforcement were saying, that the perpetrators were creatures from outer space, which is extraterrestrials, meaning non
from here.
Earth, almost alien, right.
Right.
And as I started working on that home box office special, that is all described in my first book that I finally wrote in 1989 after living the most intense decade of my life, going from producing, writing, directing, editing, and reporting A Strange Harvest to HBO to try to do an hour on what we were calling the ET Factor.
Mm-hmm.
The government trying to block me at every step. By 1989, doing the book An Alien Harvest, which was a summary of that decade, and I am happy to announce to you and your audience that the brand new second edition of a book that has my blood, my sweat, my tears, and my skin in it from that decade has been updated on every page, documents added, photos added, and I am thrilled to be able to put out in the world now a book after 35 years that was the beginning of the journey updated with my perceptions now after so much that I've been exposed to,
mm-hmm.
and that anybody listening can go to earthfiles.com and the Earth Files shop. I have chosen to try to keep all my work there because Amazon does not play very fair with those of us
who
are trying. Yeah, oh, it's awful. So that's why I keep working through the Earth Files shop, and I hope you all will at least visit it and know that I have now done 4 books and 2 documentaries and a DVD and all kinds of stuff that I know that I've done the work. It hasn't gone through some chop suey machine out there in the Hollywood world. And that this is so important because the work you are doing, the work that I'm doing in Ancient Aliens and Coast to Coast AM and Dreamland Online and earthfiles.com and increasing numbers of web and broadcast radio stations, we really are at a time where I think that the American public is now so disenchanted
yes.
with a government that they know has been lying since World War II on a lot of subjects. And one at the top is knowledge that they have had and had policies of denial going to Truman, putting together a top secret classified executive order that has been described to me and to others. And that executive order brought into being the one of the public things it did was bring into creation the Central Intelligence Agency on September 18, 1947, which was only 2 months after the, I'm going to call it crash and retrieval of extraterrestrial vehicles.
Uh-huh.
The government's own documents refer to them as unidentified aerial craft, unidentified aerial vehicles, extraterrestrial biological entities. These are all phrases that our government was using in the late 1940s to the early 1950s in documents that have been leaked and that in the upcoming Coast that I'm doing next week. I have a powerful half hour with Bob and Ryan Wood as part of my 3-hour broadcast having to do with why one of the documents that leaked in the mid-19 or early 1990s called the SOM 101 training manual has to do with the how you teach and train very special forces to go out to the retrieval of extraterrestrial technologies.
What?
And the retrieval of extraterrestrial biological entities, alive or dead. This is what the entire training manual in its 30 pages is about.
Oh, wait, okay. So you have a 30-page Men in Black training manual is essentially what
it's
you're
not
saying.
Not Men in Black.
No,
not
okay.
Men in Black. No, no, no. These would be forces that would be under the supervision of the CIA, the NSA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Reconnaissance Organization. This manual that I have reported about before, but now it's getting just like my An Alien Harvest. It's getting a whole new look from Bob and Ryan Wood, who have spent so much time trying to verify and are now convinced that the leaked SOM 101 Majestic 12 top secret stamp with the War Department stamp 1954 April, and it is called Extraterrestrial Entities, Craft, and Retrieval, and it shows diagrams of entities. It shows diagrams of a craft. It goes into how bodies, alive or dead, should be handled, where they should go, and that includes a list in 1954 that had Area 51 would receive certain kinds of parts. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base would receive bodies and certain parts.
Wow.
Sandia Labs, Los Alamos would receive. All of this material was divided into what were the single most classified labs and areas coming out of World War II, and that is the way it remains to this day. And people can say, well, Linda, how could the government of the United States working with the United Kingdom's MI5, MI6, and GCHQ. How would they, all these people that might be working on the SOM 101 efforts to go out and retrieve downed extraterrestrial craft and bodies, how could that possibly be kept secret from the world? Well, it is so easy because, number one, counterintelligence that got us through World War II, some of the brightest minds on the planet, literally, working in England and the United States, are exactly the same minds that took over under the orders of the United States President and the Prime Minister in England, that this was technology, these bodies, these extraterrestrial biological entities were to be kept from the public and the media for at least two generations, that's 50 years,
wow.
While those two World War II allies joined at the hip, along with Australia and Canada, would do everything they could to find out who these entities are, what do they want, why do they mutilate animals, why do they abduct humans, what is it that they have been doing on this planet for millennia? They knew it was not brand new to 47 or 45 or 41.
Uh-huh.
They know, and they know now, that we have been dealing with intelligences from someplace else. Whether they migrated here from another star system or what, they have been terraforming this planet, and there is not just one type. And people think this sounds like Star Trek. Well, I was told back in 1983 when I started on the home box office special by somebody who was a, call it a confidant, leaker in the government,
mm-hmm.
that Gene Roddenberry was collaborating with forces in the CIA and other intel agencies on the scripts for Star Trek specifically to get out into the public information that our government knew was based on facts that they were learning, and that this was a way to keep testing the public. They got out all of this stuff, and what is Star Trek based on, if you said the whole program? That there are extraterrestrial civilizations. Some are friendly to humans, and some are not. And that we are in a universe in which there are conflicts, there are political arguments, that this planet and other planets can be harvested by conflicting other intelligences. And when you jump to 2014 and 2015, look at what quantum physicist Michio Kaku in New York City College, who has written brilliant books,
mm-hmm.
does television. What has he been saying for the last decade or so, whether it's on television or radio or in his own brilliant book, that from his assessment of a universe that has billions, trillions of planets, because there are millions, billions, trillions of galaxies, that he estimates that the universe at 13.8 or 9 billion now years is old enough to have had waves of intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And he divides them into groups 1, 2, 3, perhaps even a fourth, highly advanced, being able to, they're long past the worries about energy, because they have known how to harvest energy from the vacuum of space. They know how to terraform planets. They go to the moons around planets to put their base operations when they want to go to planets. This is Michio Kaku, a quantum physicist. Now, he would say that Homo sapiens, that's this current model of standing up primate, which is humans,
right.
That we would be not in a number one civilization,
uh-uh.
we'd be in a zero.
Correct.
That we are so young, we are so completely incapable of neutralizing gravity, manipulating space-time, all of the things that the other categories of intelligence have learned how to do, we are still trying.
Mm-hmm.
Except, here comes the interesting question. If the whistleblowers who have leaked material to me, to Bob and Ryan Wood, and to others are correct, in the last 60 years since the end of World War II, the retrieval of technologies that are advanced have been able to lead our government, our scientists, UK government, UK scientists, into the development of all kinds of technologies that have come directly from back engineering,
mm-hmm.
the craft that have been retrieved not just in the United States, but literally around the world. And that's why I hesitated about crash retrievals. I and many others have come to think that two things have been in operation. One, our government began to realize that aiming microwave radar in areas that these craft from somewhere else would fly through could disable those craft and bring them down. So
ah.
we knew
okay.
that we had in microwaves a weapon. But we're dealing with an interactive system. The intelligence of what is in these various, whether they are disks, cylinders, spheres, triangles, boomerangs, the intelligence behind those various craft can be a prime intelligence that might be here but probably is not, and that inside all of these different unidentified aerial vehicles or UFOs, as the public knows, are androids. And what are we using today in Iran, in Iraq, and
right.
all the arguments are androids,
mm-hmm.
these drones. They're the same, an android or a drone, meaning they are a machine. It is programmed. It's highly intelligent, reactive to its environment, on a mission that has been programmed into that machine.
Wow.
In government documents, it is referred to as self-activating software for self-activating technologies that can be programmed to mutilate animals,
right.
abduct humans,
right.
Look for gold, do all kinds of things, harvest
okay.
from seawater.
I got to ask you some questions then, because you got my brain just
yeah.
absolutely spinning. First of all, then, do we think that this is a blend of some kind? I mean, this is a synthesis of biology and technology that we're seeing, these like living AI, and is that where all of our technology is coming from in the AR field? And then I wanted to ask you too, since we were talking about animal mutilation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, but are there elements of the government now that are working in collusion that are allowing these things? We'll say, you know, you give us this technology and we'll let you have X amount of animals and X amount of human beings. Have you uncovered anything like that?
Oh my, yes. I was introduced to the Truman Tree giving permission to extraterrestrials to do limited numbers of mutilations of animals and abductions of humans going back to 1947.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for those of you who are listening and yourself, if you follow Earth Files and the work that I did on Coast to Coast AM radio, starting last spring through the summer, I had two very, very important multiple series of reports. One having to do with Helen Luttrell and her daughter who lived with what a U.S. Air Force colonel described to the blind daughter in a college dorm situation
mm-hmm.
was a hybrid and not beating around the bush, part extraterrestrial, a different entity, and human. And a book was written about this by the mother of the blind girl who lived with the extraterrestrial hybrid. And this was called Rachel's Eyes. The book came out in 2010. I knew one of the co-writers, Jean Billadou, who has worked with me and helped me on lots of animal mutilation stories and strange sound stories and on.
Mm-hmm.
Jean worked with Helen on putting out this book. And it wasn't until last summer, though, that a whole series of other events had brought the hybrid issue front and center from other non-known, they're whistleblowers to me that no one knows anything about.
Okay.
But the story was exactly the Helen Luttrell through her daughter who was blind.
Right.
And had to have a college roommate assigned to her so that she could be helped, the blind daughter, and that the college, through an Air Force colonel, which probably meant the whole thing was wired by the CIA and the NSA,
right.
They put the colonel's introduced daughter, in quotes, into this college dorm with a blind girl. Very convenient.
Wow.
And that a whole series of events occurred in which Helen Luttrell, the mother, gets to see the roommate without her a dark-colored glasses on that she always wore,
right.
And realized that she was looking into lime green eyes with vertical pupils.
What?
Like a snake or a crocodile. And this is drawn, and all of this is in my Earth Files reports.
Mm-hmm.
Starting last May, the whole series with drawings, illustrations, maps, interviews and MP3s. Go to Earth Files. It's all there.
Yes, please, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta interject, Linda. We're getting ready to go to a break, so I just want to reiterate that please go to earthfiles.com and get Linda's books. I mean, I'm telling you, they don't just give Peabody Awards to anybody. You know, this her research is just absolutely out of sight. So when we come back, Linda, I want to talk a little bit about some of the current.
Well, there's another whistleblower to talk about that's
okay.
Very important after
okay.
The break.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the very important whistleblower, and then I want to relate to you a story of something that happened to me last summer that I think might be related to all this, and I want to get your take on that. So anyway, please keep it with us, ladies and gentlemen. We got a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with more of Linda Howe, and this is just absolutely amazing, Linda. I can't thank you enough for being. We're going to be right back, guys. Keep it right to you here. 3-minute break.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The White Buffalo with John Phillips,
Tuesday through Thursdays on True Frequency Radio.
With us through that 3-minute break. We are at the bottom of the hour of the second hour of our live broadcast today, which is obviously our guest segment. My very special guest today is Linda Howe, and we are talking about, essentially exploitation of resources and the collusion potentially between groups of people in our government or of the corporation that's known as our government, colluding with, potentially intelligent extraterrestrials for, an exchange of resources as they're, the motif of the powers that shouldn't be is resource exploitation for profit. So it wouldn't surprise me to find, that instance or that motif would carry out into extraterrestrial space as well. But Linda, you were talking about a very important whistleblower in regard to this theory. So go ahead and you can have the floor, please.
What was happening during the period of time that Helen Luttrell was working with Jean Bilodeau on the book Rachel's Eyes about an acknowledged human extraterrestrial hybrid that had been placed by a U.S. Air Force colonel working at Mathers Air Force Base in Sacramento into a college there, American River College, and that we have a letter confirming this girl with the name, her real name, was in that college.
Wow.
And that the whole context for everything that occurred was the U.S. Air Force colonel in a program trying to introduce hybrids into human society in order to see if they can function.
Right.
And that is what Helen Luttrell's book is about. And last spring, I was interviewing her and Jean and going into this story in detail. And so that was about a hybrid. Well, after that was broadcast, somebody said, Linda, you need to read Anthony Sanchez's UFO Highway. Anthony Sanchez, at the same time that Helen Luttrell was working with Jean Bilodeau on getting Rachel's eyes out about the hybrid, Anthony Sanchez was recording an interview with a U.S. Air Force colonel about the background of why there are extraterrestrial biological entities on this planet and where they come from and what our government has been doing in collaboration, and I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Go into the background, because the same star system was told to Helen Luttrell and was told to Anthony Sanchez by two completely different Air Force colonels around the same issue of hybrids and the development of hybrids on this planet. And what is that other solar system? Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2, that is 2.8 light years from Earth. It has come up all the way back in the Betty and Barney Hill first publicly known abduction case, 1961. The White Mountains in New Hampshire. This is the famous case of the husband and wife who ended up being taken from a road into a craft, dealing with some kind of gray entities that had on the black goggles that.
Wow.
The big black eyes or lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that case made television. Most people know about Betty and Barney Hill. What they forget is that Betty Francis said that the so-called leader inside of this craft showed her a star map, like a hologram, and that she was able to draw it under hypnosis, and that when an amateur astronomer took the Betty Hill map drawn under hypnosis, having dealt with extraterrestrials in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, was able to match up some of the suns and systems near our sun and our solar system in our particular arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And guess what? Two of the stars that had multiple lines going through them in Betty's map drawn under hypnosis, and she said these were two suns that were very close and they had a very intense trade route, were defined as Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2.
Wow.
Now, when you go back to 1976, 3 years before I started on A Strange Harvest, knowing nothing about any of this, Robert K.G. Temple, a very good writer in England, and he was a scholar in Oriental studies and Sanskrit, and he released a book that most people didn't have any context for, but it was called The Serious Mystery, Was Earth Visited by Intelligent Beings from a Planet in the System of the Star Sirius? And the reason I'm bringing this up, a well-researched book having to do with a tribe in Africa who said that their so-called, I'm going to say gods, were from the star system Sirius, and that they had taught this tribe in Africa, and the tribe owed everything to Sirius A and B, and the fact that a tribe in Africa identified their source as coming from Sirius B. This is a very important point. This all happened in the 19th century, this discovery of this tribe. This is way before World War I and II.
Okay.
The end of the 18th century, sorry. And that there was nobody knew anything about Sirius being a binary star system would be. Why is this significant? Because Sirius B and Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2 come up in the whistleblower that I'm moving to Anthony Sanchez. And the Colonel in UFO Highway, the two very important books beside my work would be to read Helen Luttrell's Rachel's Eyes and Anthony Sanchez's UFO Highway that came out in 2010. More books are out now.
Right.
And in this, recorded with a colonel who said that he had already been able to fake his life, everything, so that he could survive and be a whistleblower and have a new life. That's what happened, according to him.
Wow.
That this colonel tells Anthony Sanchez that he worked, like the other colonel worked at Area 51 underground with hybrids and ETs. This colonel tells Anthony Sanchez that he worked underground, face-to-face, in Dulce, New Mexico.
Wow, really?
And the details in this book, UFO Highway, which is entirely the recorded interview, it's a transcript of the recorded interview with this U.S. Air Force colonel from the end of the last decade, and then got published, just like Rachel's Eyes did. These books have only been out for a matter of, we're in 2015, so both of these books have only been out in the last 5 years, and very few people have understood that these are testimonies from Air Force colonels who have firsthand direct information. And then, if I were sitting in your shoes or somebody listening, I would have this huge question. Why would extraterrestrials from Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2, from Sirius A or B, from any other solar system, be on this planet producing hybrids by combining genetic material from Earth life and theirs? Why?
I have to assume it has something to do with gold, just because it's historically.
No.
Okay.
No. Gold is important, I think, throughout the universe, in that they may have mined, like Zechariah Sitchin wrote about in his The 12th Planet, and that there are metals that are extremely important to all intelligences, no matter what the civilization of intelligence that they are in, as Michio Kaku says.
Okay.
But no, I'm coming to a question about genetic survival and something that is rarely raised and may be the reason for the whole huge box of why any non-human intelligence is here, or, put it another way, why are Homo sapiens sapiens humans here?
Yes.
And the story line in the UFO Highway book boils down to this. Multiple different life forms, tall pales, grays, reptilians, all the things that abductees have talked about now for at least going back to 61 in the Betty and Barney Hill case.
Mm-hmm.
Different types involved in human abductions, confusing everyone. Well, who are these different types? UFO Highway brings it into focus in this way. That a political war conflict began long ago in the Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2 system. Sounds like Star Trek, but remember, I was told Gene Roddenberry put out Star Trek because the government wanted to expose the world public with some of the ideas that they know are true, and they have no idea how to talk about any of this publicly.
Right,
and
okay.
That these conflicts between different types of non-humans have evolved over literally millennia, and that some of the non-humans have had to migrate from their, we'll call it their original solar system, into looking for other solar systems that would have water,
mm-hmm.
heat, and to survive. Survival is the key here, more than looking for gold. And that in the UFO Highway story, it's so interesting that Mars, the planet Mars, plays a pivotal role, but not now, not current Mars. Going back in time, Mars.
Really?
And what is it that NASA and JPL and the European Space Agency are constantly trying to find on the planet Mars?
Water.
They know it had water.
Yeah.
They know it had a past with a lot of water. Where did that water go? And what about life on Mars in the past? That is one of the huge investigative efforts. What about life on Mars in the past when it had water? That is ongoing right now as we speak. And
right.
They may find evidence of microbial life, or God knows what else they're going to find on Mars, perhaps underground. Meanwhile, in the UFO Highway, whistleblower Air Force Colonel to Anthony Sanchez is the story of one of these non-human groups in war with yet another, and they're called the Tall Pales versus the Grays.
Okay.
The Tall Pales get to Mars, and there is a settlement. But there are more problems, and the Grays follow them, and they end up trying to migrate to another watery planet, Earth. But Earth has a heavy oxygen atmosphere by the time of this migration. We didn't always have oxygen here. There's evolutions in the stages of planets.
Right.
We think of Earth as being like it is now for 4.5 billion years. No, it was not like this now 4 billion years ago, 3 billion years ago. There's been evolutions in the atmosphere, in the water, in the evolution of life. And there has apparently been, according to lots of government whistleblowers, manipulation of genetic material on this planet to produce all kinds of things intelligences need. And that the bottom line in UFO Highway and in Rachel's Eyes, two books about the creation of hybrids on this earth. In both stories, extraterrestrial life knew that it was going to die out because of problems in its own replicating DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it became vital to transfer its civilization and mind and history and technology into planets, probably more than one, where they could terraform, manipulate, genetic, create life forms into which they, through hybridization, their bloodline,
mm-hmm.
mixed with our bloodline, and create hybrids that would retain some of their abilities and civilization, and the ability of the Homo sapiens sapiens to breathe this oxygen atmosphere and swim in the H2O of this planet. And that if you looked at the evolution of primates over the last 2 million years, all of the genetic manipulation through all the different types and species up to Cro-Magnon, Homo sapiens sapiens, modern humans, may have been done by the tweaking of competing extraterrestrials in conflict with each other.
Wow.
Trying to deal with survival on their scale using life forms on this planet and others.
Mm-hmm.
And that today, for reasons that are still not quite clear, we are not seeing extraterrestrial biological entities front and center in front of us. They have not been introduced to us by government.
Right.
But their technologies are among us in now the digital world. The digital world came about so rapidly because of back engineering of extraterrestrial technologies.
Hmm.
What we have in terms of black projects underground are the result of back engineering of extraterrestrial technology.
Right.
And that eventually the true history of planet Earth may be that the 20th to the 21st centuries were an acceleration by extraterrestrial intelligences manipulating us into through minds into developing technologies that they could more easily interface with.
Hmm.
That a time may be coming when our governments, in collaboration with extraterrestrials, will finally introduce the truth that we're not alone in this universe. We never have been alone in this universe. And exactly like Michio Kaku has described so brilliantly, there are various stages and levels of advanced intelligences in this universe that to interact with human zero intelligence would be pointless.
Almost dangerous, even.
And unless there is a need for genetic harvesting to create hybrids that can evolve on planets and live in those environments because there are intelligences out there that know that they need to jumpstart their blood, their DNA, by creating hybrids.
Wow.
And I have just outlined what I think is one of the big stories that has taken place on this planet, and governments who have been involved with suppressing all of this since at least World War II think that humanity, now at 7.2 billion on this planet and counting, cannot handle this, that people would fall down in the streets and that there would be all kinds of quote-unquote religious wars. Well, my God, humans on their own are killing each other right and left in wars about their different gods.
Mm-hmm.
So how could it get any worse than it is now if the whole planet were finally told the truth? And in fact, perhaps being introduced to whatever is the truth about these competing extraterrestrials might make humanity behave. We might stop all of these tribal warfares if we finally were introduced to the truth. We are not the prime intelligence on this planet.
Wow. So my question then about just regarding that would be, are there elements of the extraterrestrial group out there that might be trying to disclose themselves against the will of the government? I mean, if I was the government, I would want to keep this under wraps because I could continue to profit off of the technology for the foreseeable future. But are there any, you know, benevolent type forces out there that are trying to circumvent the government in that respect?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not have proof of that, but I think so. And that goes to another bigger box beyond this planet, this solar system, and all solar systems throughout the entire universe. This
right.
is a big box that I have felt like I have guided my entire life, and why I'm still alive, is that I have a deep sense of a divine field that is responsible for all matter worlds. And I mean all. I don't care how many dimensions, timelines, and universes there are. My own profound gut feeling and proof in my life is that there is a divine field responsible for all matter worlds, and that whatever is being worked out to the recycling in all of these worlds has something to do with the evolution of the divine field, and that we are in whatever containers we are in, whether it is the soul in the tall, pale body, or the soul in the gray body, soul in a scaly body, or a soul in a human body. The point is, it's the animating life force, the pura vida, as the Spanish say. That is the link to the divine field, no matter what the life form. And if there are cosmic wars, as is portrayed in the so-called science fiction Star Trek, conflicts on this planet right now that make this Earth, the Earth is so beautiful and so terrible at the same time. Terrible in the wars where humans are killing humans. How can it be? Well, if you jump up to that big box of the divine field working something out about what is allowable to do with life, that the political issue is that large, and that there are forces that may be the ally, like Prometheus in the Greeks, argued to preserve humanity when wanted us annihilated. A theme that comes up in Zechariah Sitchin's work on the Anunnaki, comes up all over the place, that there are wars going on between advanced intelligences and clones that can make hybrids, and that one side out there thinks that anything that it makes, getting hybrids and clones, it can destroy because they made it.
Right.
And another group that says, halt, no, you set hybrids in motion, set clones in motion. These are beings with intelligence like you that made them. You do not have the right to destroy them. And I frankly think that that is one of the wars raging in the cosmos, and that it comes down to galaxies, it comes down to solar systems, it comes down to this Earth. Why is the Middle East the cauldron that it has been for 5,000 or more years? I think it is directly related to exactly what we're talking about.
I do too.
If we are at a turning point, a true turning point, a crossroads in the 4.5 billion years timeline of this planet, where the question is now not hypothetical, It's not philosophical. What is allowable to do with life is writ large in front of us every single day on television and the web.
Mm-hmm.
We have forces that are killing millions, and it has happened before on this planet in other wars, and that there may be something in the divine field itself. When you ask, do we have an ally? Are there good guys?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I hope so. I think so.
Right.
And that we may be at a precipice where the argument about what is allowable to do with life on this planet and other planets and the issues of hybrids and clones is somehow provoking everything that is happening in the Middle East to come to a head.
Wow.
That in that coming to a head, it may provoke, even in the next 5 years, finally, the introduction of other life forms, and that we may be coming to a completely new generation, a completely new era in the solar system, where the extraterrestrials must be introduced in order to stop all of the destruction on this planet.
Wow. Linda, I hate to interrupt you. We are just about out of time. We've only got about 15 seconds left. Will you tell people again where they can find your books and about your radio show, please?
Thank you. Earthfiles.com is my news website that I have seen in science, environment, and real X-Files since 1999 and evolving to this day. Over 2,000 in-depth reports, 45,000 documents, images, maps, illustrations. It's the center of my world, and there is the Earthfiles shop where my four books, the brand new edition of An Alien Harvest, a brand new movie about Göbekli Tepe, ancient circles, and ET terraforming of Earth is. And I do 3 hours of Coast to Coast Radio every month in the last Thursday. The next one is coming up on January 29th.
Very good.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show, The Christopher Everard Show, The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph, Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo, Red Pill Reports with J.D. Moore, X-Squared with Brooks Agnew, Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye, Freaky Friday with the Woo Crew, Waking Up the Masses with Robert Bruce, Phoenix Rising Radio, and dozens more. Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308? Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.